Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show and I'm your host Ron Fitch, and today we're going to talk college football. We're talk a little NFL football today. College football. I saw the rankings. I saw the top four teams come out and it's borderline ridiculous. And normally I should be happy as a Notre Dame fan, they're number four. But I want Notre Dame to be number four when they deserve to be number four. They do not deserve to be number four because Oklahoma State is a better team. I understand you crunch numbers and the committee goes back and they get on their computers and they look and they're looking at the permutations and the calculations and the strength of schedule and all that. Sometimes you got to look at the eye test. Because if Notre Dame walked into Boone Pickens Stadium in Oklahoma State, they'd get trounced. Come on, let's all be honest with ourselves now. If Notre Dame walked into Baylor, it would get destroyed. You got to give the Big 12 some love. I understand they need to really start scheduling somebody other than North Texas and West Texas on their schedule. I get that. But still, you got to look at the eye test. You got to look how good these teams really are. I'm not crazy about their defense. You know, they're giving up a lot of points and they're scoring a ton of points. But you could see the talent that the Big Ten has. I put them right under the SEC this year. The Pac-10, the Pac-12 has really disappointed me. The Big Ten is getting a little better. Michigan State, Michigan's much improved. What did Michigan? Nobody's talking about this. What if you're Michigan and you go and you run the table and you beat Ohio State, then you turn around and beat Iowa in the Big Ten Championship? You have two losses, one fluky loss to Michigan State in that ridiculous drop punt, and a really close, a tough road loss in Utah against a really good Utah team that only has one loss that's ranked really high. You would think you're going to make the playoffs. You're a Big Ten champ. You're sitting there. And then a one-loss Notre Dame who's not even in a conference doesn't have to play a conference championship. They just have to beat Stanford and let me see who else. Stanford's really the best team on their resume. Temple's decent. And they get in. How do you feel if you're a Michigan fan? You're watching Notre Dame play. Now, I don't think Notre Dame's going to beat Stanford. So that's going to be a moot point. If Stanford runs the table, they win the Pac-12 championship. They're in. And they deserve to be in. And that's fine. If they don't, they beat Notre Dame and they lose, you might not see a Pac-12 team in there. So that's where it gets interesting. Then what do you do if you're in the community? But I want to make sure a Big 12 team gets in this year. Because if they're all playing each other, Oklahoma's playing Baylor today. Baylor has to play Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State and TCU's got to play. I mean, Oklahoma State already beat TCU. TCU's got to play Oklahoma and Baylor. Everybody's playing everybody. So by the end of the year, the resume will be pretty good because everybody played everybody. So one of these, if you have a undefeated Baylor, you got to get them in. Don't be stupid. A one-loss Oklahoma is very interesting because you lost to a lousy Texas team, got destroyed by a lousy Texas team. And I wonder if Bob, if Oklahoma ran at the table, I wonder if Bob Stoops' propensity to play lousy in big games would factor in. I just wonder. Oklahoma playing on the road against Baylor. I want to tell you something. If you haven't seen Jared Stidham, the freshman quarterback of Baylor, you want to watch this game tonight at 8 o'clock. This kid can play. He is, I mean, for a freshman, I was impressed with his IQ. Because quarterbacks put up numbers. Even quarterbacks with low IQs will put up numbers. He put up 419 yards against Kansas State. But it wasn't just the 419 yards. It was the way he saw the field. I am an IQ-based guy when I look at how good a quarterback is. Can you see? What can you read at the line of scrimmage? When the defenses are going to switch up, Can you read that play? Can you check out of the play you're going to be in to call the right play? The great ones can do that. And I see a lot of greatness in this kid. I don't know how he's going to be against Oklahoma. And you know, Baylor didn't run. Their defense, run defense wasn't that great. And Oklahoma's going to look to really run. You know, they're going to look to really try to control the tempo. And Samardji Perini is going to be that guy to run the ball against Baylor. Now, what Baylor comes with is Corey Coleman. I see Corey Coleman get double teamed and still get passes thrown and catch balls. So Oklahoma's going to have a handful with that grouping of receivers, and that's going to be very, very fun to see game. That's must-see TV. And then my other big game is Alabama and Mississippi State. And I think the key here is the way Alabama beat up LSU and shut down Fournette, Mississippi State's not a running team. They run it, but they try to pass the ball, then they run it. I think that's the best formula against Alabama. I think you spread them out, and you sling the ball all over the lot and see what you can do. Dak Prescott's the best quarterback in the SEC. They haven't beaten really nobody. A down Missouri team, a couple other teams. So this is a true test. But the problem is, can they stop Henry? Their defense has not really, at times, been good on the run. But you know, they're home. Alabama just came off of playing LSU. If you get Alabama's D game and Mississippi State gives you the A game, there's a real possibility for an upset. Real possibility, especially in Mississippi State and Alabama just coming off that win against LSU, emotional win, is where Croker has made big plays to O.J. Howard and Ridley. And he's going to have to make some good passes because I think they're going to load up 9 in the box to stop Henry. I think they're going to be, especially the first half, they're going to be extremely emotional. I think the emotion is going to help them in their run defense. But if Croker can beat them with O.J. Howard and Ridley on the perimeter, then Alabama's still going to move the ball on them and win. I think it's going to be a really, really, really close game where I got Alabama squeaking by. The other sneaky game could be Florida-South Carolina. Even though South Carolina's a little down, they played a lot of teams tough, and they're at South Carolina. They got nothing to play for. Florida has to be careful in that game. There's really nothing else after that. I don't like what I see after that. So it's Oklahoma, Baylor, Alabama, and Mississippi State. Oh, and Arkansas versus LSU. And can LSU bounce back against Arkansas at home? They'll be home against Arkansas, but Arkansas doesn't care. The way Allen is playing at quarterback on Arkansas, and they went on the road to win against Ole Miss, they don't care. They're in upset mode. They beat Auburn. Bielema has got this program humming. And next year, Arkansas could be that team. You know, they're building. They're coming. Tennessee's getting a little better. So you're starting to see the SEC could be even better next year. So that's a real tough game for LSU. But I think LSU will squeak by. They need the game, and they'll win. Now, we go to the NFL. And the real big games, well, there was one game played that was pretty big. The Jets lost to the Bills 22-17. And this was a typical Jet loss. I'm really excited. I'm in the New York area. I live in the New York area. So if my stools aren't on, I'm going to root for the Jets and Giants to hope the locals do good. But I've noticed a pattern with the Jets, and I'm going to tell you what the pattern is after I describe how they lost. They're down 22-3. They come back, get it to 22-17. They missed a couple fourth-down plays, but they overcome that. The Bills punter drops the ball. The Jets are in right near the red zone. They're moving the ball to about the 8. It's 4th-and-2, and you can't run. Well, third down play, they throw the ball backwards and get nothing. So now they go to 4th and 4th down. You can't lob the ball in the air to your backup tight end. That ball goes to Decker or Marshall or either or. And if you throw it to your backup tight end, spread it out, give them an opportunity to make a move, and then throw it to them if you want to go man-to-man. I did the play calling all night by Chank Edwards putrid. He had a horrible – and he's a pretty good play call. He had a bad day. And they were still in it because the Bills did dumb stuff, wasting timeouts and not moving the ball. Just it was bad. These two teams did not impress anybody. But Rex Ryan got his revenge. He celebrated. I haven't heard if you're a Jet fan. You're watching them celebrate on the field. Ugh. Oh, my gosh. And this is a typical Jet loss. The Jet franchise, I could explain. They have these almost or we should have won games. This is their franchise. I can go back from when Namath won the Super Bowl. After Namath won the Super Bowl, they were bad for a while. But in the 80s, they were good. But in the 80s, they always had almost or we should have won moments. Almost moment in 86 with Cleveland and Gastineau. They should have won because Gastineau has this ridiculous 15-yard penalty where it would have been 4th-and-23 in it, and the Browns would have been done. The Jets would have been on their way to Denver. And who knows? Maybe we could have saw the Jets and Giants in the Super Bowl in 86. Almost should have. And then they had years where they would start off 7-1 and then lose their last 6 or 7 games and almost. 98. In the 90s, they were pretty good a couple of years. 94, they were rolling until the end of the year, and they almost beat Miami, and they should have beat Miami. But Dan Marino does the fake spike, and they throw the touchdown, and they lose momentum, and they don't even make the playoffs. Another almost bummer. It wasn't a should have, but it was an almost moment. They almost beat a really good Denver team in 98 when they were up 10-0 in wind in Denver. And then Denver scores the last 23 points after Byers fumbles a couple of times. And that was close. Then Rex Ryan comes in their first year. They go all the way. They beat Cincinnati on the road. They beat San Diego on the road. You're getting excited. They're going to Indianapolis. And they almost beat Peyton Manning. They were leading him in a half. And then almost. And then Peyton Manning takes over the second half. And the Colts go to the Super Bowl. They just almost went to the Super Bowl. Then the following year, they beat I'm trying to remember who they beat in the first round. Then they go to New England. They destroy the Patriots, who people thought were unbeatable at the time, with Aaron Hernandez and Gronk in the lineup. They were loaded that year with Wes Welker, and it just destroyed them. So they're flying and they're doing the little jet propellers in New England Stadium. Bart Scott says, can't wait. And they're playing my Steelers the following week. And the Steelers are really banged up. So in my mind, maybe the Jets are going to beat them. You know, they're healthy. They give up a 24-0 lead because they're not ready to play because of the thing about New England. Then they almost come back and they lose. And that's what happened. And that's the Jets franchise. They almost beat the Bills. So you never know with them. And they got Texans and they got an easy schedule, but you never know if it's easy or not. In the next game, I have the Patriots beating the Giants in a real close game because the Giants own them, but I guess the Patriots finally get them. I think it's going to be a real, real close game. Now, Seattle and the Arizona Cardinals. I got Seattle winning against Arizona. I think Marshawn Lynch, Jimmy Graham, and Baldwin and Curse really come alive at home. Of course, it's going to be close because the secondary is still not playing to their maximum ability. And you got Fitzgerald Brown and Michael Floyd coming to town. And then Chris Johnson's running the ball pretty good in Ellington. But I just, on national stage, I go with Seattle. So we're going to see Monday how my picks went out. And we're going to talk more about the NFL.